This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, I think there is a definite worry. I think we described the Watford game as a 6-pointer. I think yeah, then one up to you and said it was a 9-pointer. But, you know,
it didn't
go particularly well, did it? Yeah, exactly. It didn't go particularly well, did it? I think the club spent majority of the week having a campaign saying the fans get behind us, get behind us. And actually, I'd say that when I turned up to that stadium, it was probably the loudest I've heard it in years. So, you know, the fans did their bit. It didn't start badly. It didn't, you know, by sort of former standards, you know, we know we're capable of better than how it started, but it didn't start badly. And then typically just a absolute catastrophe at the back. The young sort of inexperienced goalkeeper didn't quite put his foot through it. And then obviously Watford scored, and it was just, you could just see everything deflate from there. And it was, it was really, really disappointing. I didn't quite know what to think of where we're going next, if I'm honest.
Yeah, the annoying thing about, obviously, the Watford result, and Watford at the minute, Alex, is obviously a few results, a few games back, they were in a really worse-off position in that relegation zone. They obviously hired a new manager, got the new manager bounce, and now it's the team for Bournemouth. You've switched places. You're in the relegation zone. They've moved that, and a team full of confidence, and Bournemouth at the minute just don't have that. And that's kind of the thing. It takes, like you said, one of those things, you know, a goal off a shin or a lucky result, just to get the team, spark that side and get them galvanised and going again.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it was far from a, you know, sort of a lucky win for Watford, as I'm sure you saw. It was an absolute demolition, and that's what was quite so worrying about the result. It just looked like confidence was completely shot. They didn't look like there was any sort of cohesion or anything like that. I think Eddie sort of builds his squad based on pairings and partnerships, and you know there was just none of that. So you know, I think we spoke last week and we said how hopefully the 4-0 win against Luton would be a catalyst to do exactly what you've just said there and sort of spark us, but it looked anything but, to be honest with you. It certainly looked worrying.
Yeah, because a worry is always when you're not beating the teams in and around you. They're the teams you're hoping to get points from. Obviously, we said it was a 6-pointer. Norwich now at home, you said it was a 9-pointer, and maybe I'll have to join you on that one up level because this is massive on the weekend. But out of this bad run, and we know obviously it is a slide at the minute, no one's questioning Eddie Howe. No one's questioning the fans. You said one of the best atmospheres in a long time. You know, really noisy. Everyone getting behind the team. Just everyone knows that they just need to turn that tide, turn that corner. But so there isn't really an outside pressure on the team and on Eddie Howe. We know of a pressure within. But Eddie Howe now saying at the minute he's reflecting on his position. Is he the right man to take Bournemouth forward and lead them out of this? Is that just him being completely honest and open and transparent with the fans? Or is that slightly worrying and concerning to hear?
I think Eddie has always been a manager who's constantly trying to improve and grow and learn. And I don't think there was anything too much to read into it. I don't think that's him saying, you know, I need to reflect on my role here. I think that's him saying, I need to reflect on if what I'm doing is absolutely the right thing. And I think he might be slowly coming to the realisation that he needs, in my opinion, and I'm one of the biggest Eddie Howe fans around, as I'm sure I've made that very clear to you, I think that there has to be a little bit of room for flexibility now. He has been, the last 5 years, it's been, you know, this is the way we play football, this is how we do it. And unfortunately, and I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but our injury crisis in particular has made us arrive at a stage where actually we don't know if these players, some of these players, are capable of the type of football that Eddie wants to do. And a prime example was the goal. You know, Salma Francis came out in the press afterwards and said, you know, we play from the back. This is what we do. We play through the gap and we cut through teams. But when was the last time we did that? It's not how we're playing football at the moment. And I think there needs to be a little bit of flexibility and an ability to adapt to the situation we're currently in. And sometimes that does mean a change in style or playing players to their best position. And that's weird. It was a weird lineup on Saturday, something I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I don't quite know what's going on. And the problem is, I know we're talking at the minute, Alex, about the current form, but maybe some are saying, is that papering over the cracks somewhat? Because we've got a Bournemouth team starting in that game against Watford in the relegation zone for the first time in more than 2 years after being as high as seventh, and they only beat Man United at the start of November. What is this? Is this down to the injuries, as you mentioned, or is this something larger behind the scenes that we're not quite addressing?
This sounds pretty dreadful, but in my opinion, I feel like, I might get pelts for this, I feel like the club's been overachieving for a little while. I feel, you know, like I said last week, we have this image that we're this Russian billionaire-owned powerhouse. When in reality, I don't know if you've ever seen our training ground. It's a few pictures with a green bit of fence around it. We have a temporary stand that does hold some equipment, but when you compare it to other clubs, our facilities are not Premier League standard. Our ground is not Premier League standard. And I think that our infrastructure is catching up with us. And the problem we all have, and the problem overall, is that do they take that gamble and start up in the infrastructure on the risk that the Premier League money might not come in? It's been a catch-22 scenario for the last 5 years. A ground, for example, costs tens of maybe even hundreds of millions to put in. You know, that's 10 years of Premier League revenue. And how much does each seat bring you in? It's so difficult. But I do have to say that when you look at our our average wage compared to other clubs, it's quite apparent what our structure is and what our sort of philosophy is when it comes to recruits. I ask, what is our biggest pull to Bournemouth? It's a lovely location, but other than that, it's not the ground, is it? And out is the training facilities. So there's one other thing that's the biggest pull, and it's the thing. Maybe for example, it's Eddie. Eddie is the pull that brings people in.
Do you know what, Alex? I've got to admit, listening to you in that minute, I completely, you know, even myself, I haven't looked at it from that perspective. You're completely right. Everyone wants to say, where's the cracks? Me, myself, I just said it, you know, what is going wrong? The injuries, you know, they're not performing at the level. And you just said, let's put a little bit of perspective on this and the fact that, you know, we are overperforming maybe at some of the levels we have been. You know, look at the facilities, look at the training ground and the stadium, you know. Look how well we've been doing. And maybe clubs in the Championship, we know the big clubs down there, have got bigger facilities than we have, and yet we're outperforming them. It is a completely right point. And that's why the media hasn't turned on Eddie Howe. That's why the fans haven't turned. And Eddie Howe, you know, there has been no question marks on his job, because before he was getting all the plaudits, as he should, he got them there, he should lead them through. It's a really good point you make. I hope they obviously get out of that. We're going to look at the game on the weekend in East Norwich and maybe talk a little bit about those January transfer window signings if Bournemouth may add one or two.
Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
Listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, still joined by Alex Deutsch for our Bournemouth Fans Takeover. And you can get involved tonight if you know Alex and you want to put a question to him, or you just want to have your say on what the team are doing in a minute. And listening to Alex then, you know, are you overperforming at your weight in a minute? You're over-punching. It's a brilliant insight what Alex has given us, talking about the team. And obviously, they do have Norwich on the weekend, but you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Alex, really interesting point you was making, but could we see any more, could we see any additions this month? I know I asked you last week, but Begovic is obviously leaving. He looks like he's joining AC Milan, so obviously Reina's coming in at Aston Villa. Could we see anything this month? And on that question, just because you were talking so eloquently about the training facilities, and Bournemouth are kind of in that catch-22 situation, a place and a hard rock. And the problem is that if they do go and invest, you know, as you said there, let's go and upgrade the training facilities, upgrade all the pitches and the stadium, then fans want transfers, want to stay in the league, but you can't do both. You can't go and invest in that and then go and invest on the pitch. And maybe we'll see that. It's very difficult to do both. You kind of have to gamble or not gamble. But if they do want to take that next step of the ladder, everything will need to be upgraded at some point, won't it?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think it's a bit of a crying shame for fans like myself, who, you know, fan of addictive, have been going since I was about 13, and I have seen some dreadful football, and I've also seen our incredible rise. And what, if for me, is the biggest shame and the thing I'm so worried about relegation, is that if we do go down, I see nothing tangible as an asset from our journey. All we've really got is, you know, some good memories of some great wins, but I see no ground. We still don't own our ground. The training ground is due to be built, but you know that doesn't affect the fans, and it doesn't get young. I've never seen so many young Bournemouth fans wearing shirts around Bournemouth. I've never seen in my life. When I used to go to school, there were all the other fans were Man United fans or Chelsea fans or Liverpool fans. You never saw any Bournemouth fans, and now everywhere you go around Bournemouth, there are Bournemouth fans who can't get into the ground. But at the same time, I do accept that it's you can't spend money you don't have. You can't spend it.
Alex? You know, because I was quite not upset about that, but you just mentioned that there's nothing tangible that we've got from this Premier League, and that's all that fans want, memories, the good times. And there is something. You, as that kid, supporting your team, but everyone else wanted a Premier League club. Everyone wanted to go the glory hunter. Let's get a Man United shirt. Let's get a Chelsea shirt in Liverpool. Now we're seeing fans in Bournemouth shirts. Now we're seeing fans wanting to go to the games, and they can't get a ticket. You know, you remember the times, if we compare and contrast, when the football was terrible, when no one wanted to say Bournemouth was their team, when everyone had to pretend they had another main team. This has changed completely.
It absolutely has, and that's my biggest fear about relegation. I mean, if you want my honest opinion about the leagues, the Championship was, you know, not because we were really good in it, but the Championship was my favourite league ever. But what I'm so scared about is that we get relegated and we go back to that club that had nothing, that we had no money. It would be a crying shame to have how many years have we been in the Premier League? Five years. So quick math, 600 million in income. It would be a crying shame to not have something to show for this journey. I know the memories are great, but you know, if I have kids down the line, I can't, you know, there's only so many memories I can tell them about. What they want to do is they want to go to their local club, and they want to wear the Bournemouth shirts. And I'm so scared that Bournemouth go down, and for example, Southampton, who've done really well and turned it around, they stay up, and our target fan base and the people around the club that could have really made a difference for the next 30 years, the next few generations, they've missed out, and their interest is no longer there because they couldn't get a seat when it was at our peak.
Yeah, I've got to admit, Alex, this is why I love talking to you, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about football, but through your eyes as a supporter. And look, this is the fan show, and what it would mean, not just to see your team start, but to the community and for fans of a later generation, potential kids and grandkids, and then going off and supporting the fear of where that club could go. But isn't it maybe on the flip side of that narrative as well, Alex, in this debate, that Bournemouth came up when they were ill-equipped, and now hopefully with that money, if they did upgrade, they'd be, you know, listen, we don't want this, and this is a way off, you know, unlikely future scenario. But going to a Championship then, if they did have better training, if they did have everything, and, you know, to then come up better prepared.
Mate, if you offered me 30 years of, you know, solid, stable Championship football with the odd flirt with the Premier League, I'm going to get pellets for this, but I would take it just because of the experiences I've had as a club, as a fan of Bournemouth, that I didn't know if I was going to have a club the next day. You know, it's easily forgotten the state that club was in. It is.
You're worried about the League One trapdoor as well, the League One and Two trapdoor, the Sunderland.
Of course I am. Yeah, of course I am. Yeah. Of course I am. Sunderland have infrastructure. Sunderland have a huge stadium, and they have training facilities. We don't have anything. And like I said, I'm not necessarily blaming the board, because I think Maxim has actually run the club. The Russian has actually run the club in probably the most sensible way he could. He can't spend money he doesn't have. He's not the billionaire that people think he is. He's worth about 100 mil. A lot of money, obviously, but he hasn't got to the position he's got to and his wealth by making decisions based on heart. And as much as I want a stadium, I can understand why it's not happening. But I just think it's a desperate cry and shame that we are seriously talking about relegation. It is a serious possibility. Although I'd like to think that, you know, Eddie's the guy to turn it around. It is a serious possibility, and if we do go down, I don't know what happens after that. I don't know what happens.
Yeah, you don't know what happens after that. We have had a tweet into us. See, Alex, you're very popular. And hearing about this team and community, this time from Stuart Birch, saying, the saga of Ryan Fraser's non-signing of his contract and his attitude. It's just gone off the screen there. Alex, the signing of Ryan Fraser's non-signing of his contract and his attitude has been a major factor why Bournemouth and particularly Callum Wilson have not been scoring this season. What do you make of that?
I think there's definite points behind that. I think that you can look at both of them in some ways, because Callum Wilson signed that huge contract. I don't think we've ever given a player a contract that big ever. And at that moment, his form has never recovered. And then we've got, on the other hand, we've got Ryan Fraser, who's saying, I'm not sure I want to stay here, and not signing a contract. So you've got two big sort of contract scenarios. In fairness to Ryan Fraser, I think the last couple of games, he's actually put a shift in. I thought he was all right against Watford. He put in numerous crosses, and I think we played him out of position. And I think, actually, I saw the work ethic that I feel like he's been missing. So maybe he's about to get settled, and maybe he's got himself an answer somewhere. With regards to Callum Wilson, I don't understand it, because, you know, the Euros are coming up. He's been in the England squad. You can't put a player who hasn't registered a shot on target since October in the England squad. So is it a lack of effort, or is there something underlying there? I don't know. But as the person who tweeted in just said, it has been a major, major impact in our football. It was always been, you score four, we'll score five sort of thing. Now we haven't scored in five games, and we're getting demolished.
Yeah, and I think it was one shot on the weekend to Watford. Really thanks to Stuart Birch for getting in touch on that. That's what we want. It's that easy. You tweet us, we'll read out your questions, put them to Alex. Alex, it's really interesting when you mention everything, the fears and concerns you have dropping through those leagues and what happens. You know, we haven't got the stadium, the training ground, but doesn't that highlight, and I know it, like you said, what does it count for if it all fades away, but how well Bournemouth are doing? You're saying it there and I'm sitting there going, that's unbelievable what they've achieved. And I know about it, but it's just sort of ringing home more when we have to really go look at other teams on their budget, you know, can't get back into the Premier League, and Bournemouth year in, year out are doing what they're doing.
And it is a weird one, because on the one hand, everyone goes, look how much money Bournemouth spent. And on the other hand, people are saying, well, spending money doesn't equal success. So it's, you know, it's one or the other. I think that in terms of sort of how we're doing, you do have to look at it. And you do have to accept that while I don't think we're overperforming, I think perhaps overperforming is the wrong word, because, again, it's a double-edged sword, because when we played as well as we have in the Premier League, now we're not playing so well, it is quite... it's really disappointing. But on the other hand, you do have to look at it and say, you know, from what I'm aware, when the Russian came in, he said, a five-year plan, let's try and get into the Premier League within 5 years. A ridiculous thing to say to a League One club, but let's try and get into the Premier League in 5 years. Within 3 years, we're in. Now, that is growth that our infrastructure and our behind the scenes and our framework, if you like, couldn't keep up with. It couldn't keep up with that. So it's, for me, it's no surprise that in a period of transition like we're in at the moment, when we're sort of weaning out the old guard and trying to bring in new players, it's no surprise to me that eventually this had to catch up with us. But I am seeing calls for Eddie's head from Bournemouth fans. I'm seeing them, I'm seeing media suggest it. For me, it's an absolute no-brainer. For me, it's just a gamble that, if a gamble for gambling's sake, a gamble on a new manager bounce that may or may not happen for the sake of someone who leads a project. And, this is what we are. We are a project.
Absolutely, you are a project. Alex, we've come to the end of time, but just a score from you very quickly. Norwich on the weekend, what is your score prediction?
Oh, God. Five Bournemouth. I don't know. No, let's hope for a 1-0 scrappy win. And it turns our season around.
Scrappy win, 1-0. Alex, always a pleasure to talk to you on the Bournemouth Fan Show. We'll be here at the same time, and you can join us every Monday, 10:30 to 11 on the Bournemouth Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.